Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and there you go, Illini fans. That is the complete performance you have not been seeing during this seven-game win streak, though you have been winning, but that was a feel-good victory of what a top-five team in the country looks like, what a national title contender, a Big Ten title contender looks like, as Illinois defeats Minnesota 94-63. They go into Williams Arena and dominate a Minnesota team. Now, I know they had some injuries. I know they were shorthanded with Kalscher out, and Liam Robbins was not himself. But Iowa didn't win there, Michigan didn't win there, and Ohio State didn't win there. So let's talk about it in the Illini Inquirer podcast. I'm Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher with Joey Wagner. We are at home. Derek Piper is in Williams Arena, which is actually one of my favorite places to visit because it's so unique, Joey. But Illinois hasn't liked visiting there. Most teams haven't liked visiting there. But today it was a pretty good home for Illinois basketball. What a win.
Okay, so you got the stuff we need to get out of the way, right? No Gabe Kalscher, no Liam Robbins. Okay, let's move forward because, oh my gosh, that was what from everywhere, right? I mean, it was obviously Iowa has this triple double, and that's one of the things. This is the second time in 2 weeks. Like, okay, that happened, and then all this other stuff happened too. It's crazy how that is. But I, when we were talking during the game, Jeremy, I went back to the Nebraska game in my mind where five guys scored the basketball. And they won, and it wasn't pretty. And then you get here, and it's just boom, 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 and everywhere there are points. Literally every – I don't want to say everybody, a lot of guys scored, and they had six guys who scored at least 5 points. They had Curbelo and Damonte Williams were close, and that is kind of what I think, you know, when we've kind of looked at this team, like where does this fit for, you know, how what's the next step for this? Because it can't just be all Iowa and Kofi. We're not foolish enough to think that. Yeah. And then this happens. And then it was just everyone, everywhere, and it was something else.
I think we can get into that a little, Joey. Like when the supporting cast is good, Illinois is national championship good. And that's not hyperbole, right? Like when they get people other than Iowa and Kofi to help and score, they are great. Because I think defensively, they've been pretty consistently good over the seven-game win streak, and I think that's why you have a long win streak while a team like Iowa hasn't. And that's why I didn't pick Iowa to win the Big Ten, is because I just didn't think they defended consistently. For that one or two nights, they don't shoot well. Illinois can win those games. And Illinois can win games, Joey, where those other supporting cast doesn't play well, because Iwa Dosunmu is one of the greatest players Illinois has ever had. Kofi Coburn, one of the greatest post players Illinois has ever had. And when you have those two guys, you have a chance. But I was looking it up at halftime. The Illini are 5-4 when three or fewer players score in double digits. They're now 11-1, 8-1 against high major opponents when four or more players score in double digits. And I think you probably got some stats on when they get so many to score 5+, just even that kind of contribution. This team can play with Baylor. They can play with Gonzaga when they have guys who can do that. I mean, even against Baylor that first time, they had four or five guys scoring double digits, and they had chances in that game. So when they have that, 15 points from Trent Frazier, 12 a season high from Grandison, Curbelo playing good ball, Georgie Bishanishvili giving good energy off the bench. And even I thought Adam Miller had good moments overall where you kind of saw little parts of his game defensively, rebounding, passing the ball, the dunk. Yeah, we had never seen that before. His points were late, but when you get that kind of overall contribution where everyone's kind of pulling a little weight, this team is, you know, national title, Final Four good.
You know, I my paper's all the way across the room from me. I think it's 12-2 they are when they have six guys score 5 or more points. The two losses, Baylor and Ohio State, they're number one seeds. Yep. Like those two, I don't know that, you know, a lot would have mattered in those two games. Those are two really, really good teams. And that is, Yeah, and then I went back to the Missouri game, right? And IO put up, what was it, 33 maybe? I'm drawing a blank. He put up a lot of points, and Brad's like, yeah, that's not it for me. I don't love that. And this is why. Like, this is what Brad wants. And IO said it, you know, they want to hedge the screens and try to take the ball out of his hands and make life miserable. And there was maybe even last year, early part of last year, definitely his freshman year, you could do that because there weren't the scoring options around him. And I think he's probably also grown as a facilitator even throughout this year, but maybe not even grown, but we're just seeing more of that aspect of his game, maybe because there are more weapons. And that's a part of his game that, like, we know he can score. We know when he gets in transition, he can go baseline to baseline, put a player on skates and score like it's nothing. But Illinois has just not had to ask him to be this facilitator because they couldn't afford it. Everything that they wanted to do was riding on him scoring a lot of points. And really last year it worked, and you saw a little bit of that fall away as Kofi started to establish himself in the second to the back half of that season. And now it's all starting to come together. And they said there's still, you know, a ways to go where they want to be. And I mean, okay.
That's scary. It
looked really
well. You're starting to see Joey. I mean, he had 21 against Wisconsin in a triple double. He had 31 against Nebraska. He can go do that, right? But he also, over his last four games, has 33 assists, right? And that's part of, you know, he makes the right decisions, right? Like, he doesn't have to just score. He doesn't have to hog the ball. Like, Marcus Carr, he really today had to try and score 30. And Trent Frazier made that difficult. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But we get into this National Player of the Year conversation, and it's no slight to Luka Garza, Iowa people. Luka Garza is having a National Player of the Year season. And here's the thing, Kofi Coburn, I'm glad Bardo said it. Most years, Kofi Coburn would possibly win a Big Ten Player of the Year award and be a first-team All-American. And if Iowa wasn't on his team, he certainly would be that probably. But Io DeSumo is putting himself in that conversation, and not just because his overall play, his stats, like, yes, Garza's scoring more. Garza gets more rebounds because he's a big man. But Io, it makes a contribution in every aspect. His efficiency is through the roof. He's a great three-point shooter now. He's better defensively than Garza is. So you can make these arguments. But as you and I know, Joey, it's not just about that. It's about narrative. It's about having moments like that matter in college basketball and having a team that is one of the best teams in the country. And right now, over the last couple of weeks, with Illinois on a 7-game win streak, fighting for a number one seed, maybe starting next on Monday, Joey, with Michigan or Ohio State losing, Illinois might be on that number one seed line and in second place in the Big Ten, right? That's better for Iowa than it is for Garza. I think everyone kind of assumed Garza would win it, right, coming into this year. And now all of a sudden, Io's doing this, a triple-double, followed by the end of that Nebraska game where he absolutely carried Illinois, the end of that Northwestern game where he absolutely carried them to a win, and now another triple-double. Two triple-doubles in the last four games. Illinois had two of them in their entire history before this month. It's nuts, and that's what's going to help him. Is I think there's momentum and there's a narrative now for Io DeSumo. So for me, flip a coin between those two. And at the end of the day, if we've talked about it, we did the roundtable. If Illinois wins the Big Ten, Io DeSumo should win it, probably, in my opinion. If they finish third and Garza and Iowa are fourth, then it becomes a flip of the coin for me. But for those Iowa people, it's not that Garza's not good enough for it. It's just I think a lot of things are starting to swing in DeSumo's way. It's special moments, and it's winning, and it's him just having one of the best seasons we've ever seen in an Illini uniform.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, if Illinois wins the Big Ten, that means we think, and you know, a lot can shape out, but they're going to need to beat at least two of the three of Wisconsin, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, at Michigan.
I think, Joey, they probably have to win out, right?
They probably do.
Because yeah. Michigan's got, I mean, they got Ohio State once or twice. Twice still? But, I mean, Illinois is going to have to beat Michigan and have to beat Ohio State, right, to win the Big Ten, or at least have a share of the Big Ten. And if they're going to do it by win percentage, Michigan has an advantage there just because they're not playing as many games. So they only have Ohio State once. They got Michigan State twice, Indiana, and we see Indiana today. I think Michigan's beating them. I don't think Michigan loses more than three games.
No, I don't either. So, okay, let's say they have to win out. we both know well enough that if they win out, Io Dosunmu is exactly one of the two reasons they have won out. That's a pretty good thing to put on your resume, is you won the Big Ten and you went to Wisconsin, which isn't as great right now, but it's still at Wisconsin. You've gone to Michigan, and really what might may well be the Big Ten championship game, and you've gone to Ohio State, and you've beaten those three, which is what it's going to take.
12 straight wins it would take.
12 straight wins. That's crazy. But they're playing really well right now. So we have that, and that's pretty good. And to be fair, Luka Garza, yes, right? Like, yes, he should. Like, anyone can debate the merits of who's going to win. But what's really not a debate is this thing belongs to be – there deserves a conversation around this award. And if you're an Illinois fan, if you're an Iowa fan, that is fun. Like, yeah. Dude, that – sure, you're going to get fired up and you're going to defend your guy –
well, here's my problem is, like, people belittle, like, oh, Luka Garza, he did it against this team that doesn't defend the post. I'm like, dude, he scored 30-something points. I know Wisconsin's a little soft right now in the middle, but Garza still tore him up, right? Just because Dosunmu did it against Northwestern and Nebraska, you're not belittling that. These guys are playing Big Ten basketball. They're both awesome and great representatives of college basketball.
And what Io has, I think, in his favor, and maybe there's a little bit of like the NFL goes to the quarterback, do guards have the ball in their hand and they can create. And when Io can create, he can create the moments. And those moments, we've talked about it, I've written about it, they matter a lot. And how, like, yeah, Luka had 33. That is a moment. That is certainly a moment. And that's not to take away from what he's able to do when he's scoring the ball like that. And those are big things. But there is maybe a different perception from people who don't follow it as closely, who would see a guy like Io have these moments that captivate or that rally to a win. And I'm not trying to take away anything from Luka. If he wins this thing, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world to me. But I just think that there's a little bit of that guard bias for some people who just see somebody creating like that, right, wrong, or what, that might exist in some people's eyes. So it's a conversation, man. It's a fun conversation to have. Illinois has not had this conversation in a while.
And you know who I think is probably going to win it is the guy who wins more games to end the season, right? Like if Iowa wins four of their last five, beats Michigan, beats Ohio State, finishes top three in the Big Ten, I think it's a lot better chance for Garza. But if Illinois finishes top two in the Big Ten and they only win or lose one more game and they're a number one seed, I think it's going to be him. I think it's going to be Io. This is fun. It makes it. And you know what? Brad Underwood and his staff are thinking about it too, because it'd be a nice thing to have on their resume to have a National Player of the Year. They're already going to have a first team All-American. And I think Io Dosunmu certainly is playing his way into a first round draft conversation, because why wouldn't you want that guy on your team? But they kept him in there to get the triple double. I would have advised against it. And you could tell Brad Underwood really was struggling with it. One, he didn't want to show up Rick Pitino in Minnesota. But two, like, there's that injury factor. He sat Kofi, and that was the smart play. I don't know if it was a smart play to leave Io in, but he got the triple-double, and he stayed healthy. So,
you look, I thought, and Brad said about the same, as like 3:30. It got to that under four timeout, and I'm like, he's not going to, like, I don't imagine this goes any further than 2:30. Like, after that, it's like, dude, if you didn't get one rebound in a minute and a half, sorry, right? Like, this is just not worth the rest of our games here. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that. I don't think Brad is somebody, and he said it, he recognizes those moments and the, you know, what that means.
It's history.
But he also really respects the dude across the scorer's table from him. And he, I remember even after the Northwestern game, the blitzing in Evanston, he was like, hey, wait a minute here. That's not what Chris Collins does. So I think that really pulled on him a lot too. So to that degree, like, yeah, I'm a little surprised he put him in there. But I think also it's like, if Io says he's going to get a rebound in a minute, like, you're probably going to lean to believe that. So, man.
It's history. Man. It's history. I mean, 2-4 games. We haven't seen one in 20 years. You talked to Serge a week ago about it. And, you know, it's really hard to do. And, you know, Mark Smith, back in the, who a lot of people say is one of the most underrated players in Illinois history, who's played here in the 70s and 80s. Like, he was a fantastic player. But think of all the players who haven't. I mean, D never got one. Darren never got one. Kendall Frank. Gill, Nick Andrews, like those guys. Yeah, Frank never got one. That's amazing. It's amazing what he's doing. And I know we say it every podcast now, but I mean, the next time there are fans in that stadium, like that jersey's in the rafters, and I think Kofi's is too. And Kofi has a quiet 22-6 tonight in 24 minutes and dominated on the interior, made his free throws. This is a special team, man, with two really special players at the top of it.
First of all, if I'm Brad, I am lobbying for every afternoon, like 2:30 tip off on Fox, because he's 2-for-2 and triple doubles in those so far in the last 2 weeks. And if I was the player of the year, that's got to be his Zoom background for every guard he ever recruits is, hey, this guy here. But there is so much about this team. And Brad talked about it, and he said it's going to sound corny. And I thought, okay, well, what's going to sound corny here? Because we'll see. And he said they're smiling. Like, yeah, that did sound a little corny. But you can see it. Like, there's definitely that chemistry about the team and that the way that they carry themselves and the way that they, you know, even some of the passes, like, and I think Bardo alluded to it, like when Andre Curbelo had that behind the back between two defenders to Kofi, he's like, no, I would have been sitting for that. And there were some players who might be like, hey, dude, we're trying to, but they kind of let themselves be who they are. And I think they really enjoy that and being around who they are. And again, it didn't show up as much early as they figured all the pieces out.
Yeah,
where you can really start to see it here in this, especially in this win streak, and really parsing it a little deeper.
Well, those special teams, right, that you watch, like whether for Illini fans it's 04-05, or I think of some of those Villanova teams that won the national championship with all those guards who played incredibly well together, or you think of those Golden State Warrior teams. But it's like they just move as one, right? Yep. And at times this team doesn't look like that. But when they're clicking, they have that kind of special quality where it's like these extra passes they made today, 27 assists on 37 field goals, locked in defensively. You saw some of the defensive rotations. I remember one where Georgie, you know, got out on somebody. It was just like that is exactly.
And Carter called that out.
Yeah, and it's like that's one of those,
like, you see it on offense. And obviously the passes, but on defense, and that's what Brad's talked about defense since literally like the second he stepped in Champaign. But like when they move and they rotate like that, and anything that you think might be something is no longer something, that is what really to me shows that chemistry.
And I just think it's a roster that's, I think this group always had like a great mix of players, talent, personality, right? Like you have this dog in Io who's like, that's the lead guy. Everyone knows that's the lead guy. He's our guy who's serious, but he also is our leader, and he acts like a leader. He takes people out to eat, right? He gets in the car with people, and he's just the guy you go to. He's the serious one. He's the Jordan. But you also have Kofi, who's just this mammoth, right? But also full of life. And he's kind of been an energy guy. Like his motor has just run. And usually you don't get that from big men.
Trent, pointed out last Northwestern game, yeah. Right? Dude's jumping all over. He's not to interrupt you, but I remember sitting when they were at Northwestern was there, and Kofi, like, you just don't see 7-footers jumping around like that and literally screaming. So, sorry, but yeah.
Because you usually have to get big guys revved up, right? Because usually they play basketball because they're told to play basketball. Like, Kofi loves it, and he wants to be great. Trent Frazier's the senior, right, who gets after it, has a lot of personality outgoing-wise. Demonte doesn't show us his personality, but I know he has it with the team. But he's another senior, right, that just gets it and is smart. But then you add this flashy freshman in Andre Curbelo, and yeah, it's bad. But those plays can just energize a team. Right. And to have that guy come off the bench and be like that, we know the energy Georgie brings. So I just think it's this nice mix of like veterans who know how to play, know when to rev it up. And I think you're seeing Io kick this team into high gear. Like he told us after game, there's a huge sense of urgency now that I think we didn't see a month ago when they had those couple losses. Now that they've had those setbacks, they know, hey, man, this thing's fleeting. And they've kicked it into high gear. And some nights it doesn't look great, but when they need it, that Io revs it up, Kofi revs it up, this whole team does, and they find a way to win games. But I just think this roster, as we're kind of talking about, it is finding, like, I think they're in a really good place right now, Joey. They could lose one of these upcoming games that you don't want to lose, like Michigan State, who played well today, or they could lose to Ohio State or Michigan because those teams are good. But, like, I think this team feels good about itself, feels confident, and I think Brad is starting to feel that too. Like, you're starting to feel this is almost March. Like, this is the time where memories are made and the legend of this team, or not, right, is made.
Yeah, I don't think winning out and having this chemistry are two mutually exclusive right. things. I think you can certainly still have that and lose a basketball game. And there's a little swagger to Brad Underwood right now. Let's not kid ourselves, man. He's pretty laid back and talking to us. I don't think it was snappy, but he was asked about, hey, you're going to be on the road for the next forever. He's like, don't care. Just bring it. Like, and there's got to be a fatigue, right, of talking about this ever-changing schedule. I get that. But, like, that's a pretty swagger Brad Underwood.
He just said bring him on, right? Just bring him on. I don't care who's next. We'll play him. We're feeling good. And we have to be great. And his team has to be tough. He knows with the Big Ten. Like, I don't think it was a snap at other Big Ten schools. Like, hey, this is nothing. We got this. It was more just hey, bring this on. This is what we want. This is what you have to do to win Big Ten championships. And we're doing it. Even though it's not perfect sometimes. It doesn't look pretty sometimes. And other times it does, like today. But either way, this team finds a way to win games in different kind of ways.
And I think, all roads kind of come back to Io here. And he said today, he said, look, this win is no different than Northwestern to me. And when your best guy, your leader, the guy who's in front of every, I get like the Jordan montage from The Last Dance when he's going on and saying, he's like, when your guy is saying that, that's real. Like that is real. I don't think Io cares. I mean, obviously everybody probably wants to win in the best fashion they can win, but for him to come out and to lead that charge and, dude, what he says, kind of seems like it goes, mm-hmm. like with his teammates, right? So if he's thinking that, I don't imagine the other guys are like, well, nope, I think that's it, and that's what it's going to be.
You know, there's this long time, Joey, where I covered this team, and there just wasn't an alpha. There wasn't an alpha. I mean, Dimitri McKamey was a phenomenal player. He was not an alpha. Malcolm Hill, phenomenal player, was not an alpha. Tracy Abrams, I thought, was a good leader, but he just wasn't good enough to be an alpha, right? Like, this guy is that. He's the first guy probably since D, Darren, those guys, that is a true alpha dog and is a true All-American. That's why you haven't had one since then. And that's what it looks like. I do want to give out a shout-out to Trent Frazier. Career-high 6 steals, and I thought he played even better defense than that. Marcus Carr has to hate seeing orange, Joey, because the last three, he's played Illinois 3 times. He's played Illinois 3 times. He's 9 for 36 shooting. That's 25% with 35 points. He has less points, fewer points than he does shot attempts against Illinois. And he has 8 assists to 7 turnovers. I mean, he's one of the best playmakers in the Big Ten. I don't think he's not a first team guy for me, and I'm debating whether he's a second team guy for me. I think there's a lot of empty calories at times with Marcus Carr at Minnesota, but that's still a hell of a job by Trent Frazier.
Dude, this is major Kofi Coburn, Trace Jackson Davis vibes. Like, against everybody else, they're really, really good, and it's like, get out of their way because they're going to do it. And then there's just somebody who's there, and that's a lot of credit to Trent Frazier, who he has grown into. I don't know what his plan is for next season. I do know if I'm Brett Bielema, I might be hanging out at his apartment looking for a defensive back. It is unbelievable the way that he can get in there into those passing lanes. And all of those like jumped passing lanes that lead to a pick 6 on the other end, that's not even the best part of his defensive play on that particular possession. He just does not relent. And I remember Isaac Trotter, do you remember the press conference? He asked Brad, he said, how is he evolving? He's like, he couldn't guard you when he got here. And Isaac is a fine athlete, I'm sure, but he is no star athlete here. And that's
I want him on my ARC team / Impy team, if you're old school Illinois. But yeah, not so much Big Ten.
And then you have Trent Frazier, who has grown into this, like, mad. He is mad if someone scores a bucket on him. And I think he is like this team, and Brad touched on it a little bit yesterday when he's like, we're not going to tell you what our little mantra is here. I think that this team has so many of those. So many of those like needles that Brad knows how to just like poke at his team to really fire him up. And for Trent, it's being left off of these defensive awards. For Io, it's something. For everybody, it's something.
I think for Io, we know. I think Brad planted that seed in the media and everyone went off about his family went off. Yeah, his family went off about it. That like, oh, he's not the National Player of the Year. Well, watch that. Like, look what he's done. That's a genius by Brad. And we know Orlando and Chin are planning that stuff, like with Kofi and all of them. That's motivation, but you also have to be able to be pushed. And that's what I love about those guys is Kofi is willing to be yelled at and he likes it and he gets better at it. And Io is fine with Brad. So people that freak out like, oh, Brad, did he needle a superstar too wrong? No, he tweaked him just the way a coach is supposed to tweak him. And they have enough trust in each other and faith in each other that Io took that and said, I'm going to show you, coach. Right. And even if he didn't like Brad for a couple moments, that's not what Brad's job is. Brad's job is to get the most out of his player. And he's certainly doing it.
He is, and I'm telling you, maybe this isn't coming from Brad, though I have to suspect Brad reminds Trent that he was not on that midseason list. That to me, like, I don't need to ask. I'm sure that is what is a driving factor, and man, he is really, really good. And it's one of those that, like, the six steals today are going to get people who are going to, oh my, you know, casual box score, you know, observers, like, oh boy, he might be pretty good at defense. But it's just the rest of it that it's just he is in your pocket all the time.
He's a pest, and he gets through screens better than anyone I've ever seen. Like he just like because maybe he's smaller, he's quicker, but he just gets through and fights through screens and stays on your hip, right, and just bothers you. He's really good at it. All right, Joe, when we come back, let's look at the road ahead for Illinois. It is on the road, but also a little bit of the Big Ten because some of the Big Ten's bubble teams not performing very well this weekend. We'll talk about that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, Joey, I do want to say this about Minnesota. That's an embarrassing performance. I know Liam Robbins is hurt. And I don't, maybe he shouldn't have played today, to be honest with you. He had 4 assists and 4 blocks, but I felt for that kid today. And Kofi owned him. He had 0 points. I believe, did he end up with that? Yeah, ended up 0 points on 0 of 4 shooting today. And, but still, you got run off your court, and their effort in the second half was bad. I mean, Illinois had, what, 6 dunks in the second half? What was your favorite? Mine was the Kofi cockback, because I did not know the big man could do that, but Adam Miller's also came out of nowhere.
That was major, like, was high school vibes. You, like, remember, like, the highlight reels of Kofi? You're like, oh, he's just going to windmill standing straight up. Probably the Georgie oop. Because I don't even know that Io looked at him. And like, I didn't even know what Io was doing. Because you couldn't really see Georgie flying. And it's like, oh, my God. 6 dunks like that. You talked about it. This is before I got here. Dude, there were seasons when this just did not happen. And they made
it was all Mav. It was Mav Morgan, Doug. That was the only guy who dunked because he was so tall. And now you have that. Like, Kofi had 8 in one game, I believe. And I think you successfully – lobby.
Strong arm my way into it.
Yeah, so what was that, Joey? I think you got a Kofi dunk tracker. Is someone doing that now?
Yeah, Kofi dunk tracker on Twitter. I think it's just Dunk Kofi, and, you know, personality there, but there's counting the tweets. They're counting the dunks. I think he's in the 50s at this point on the season, which, again, a long freaking time.
It's probably topped what they had the old decade before Kofi arrived. Not going to lie.
And they're so... They look so easy. And of course he's 7 feet tall, and of course it's gonna look easy, but like this is like, there was a play today. Like, literally everybody from Minnesota just collapsed on him. Like, yeah, we don't think you're gonna pass it, so figure out what you can do. And he gets that kind of attention, he still just dunks the heck out of it. It's something else.
And I wanna say this, kudos to Io for his hard work, but also Fletch. Like, that guy is dunking with ease now. I think Fletch said 11 inches he's gained on his vertical. That's another huge, I mean, you think of like the little aspects of his game. And again, we're going off on Io here, but we should. He had a post up that I wanted to see what he was going to do with it. And he ended up losing the ball and it went out of bounds, got deflected out of bounds. But like, I haven't seen that before. His mid-range game is ridiculous now. His three-point percentage is through the roof compared to last year. He just keeps adding and adding. And now you can add explosiveness and dunk. Like, man, I've seen first round like guards, and Io's got a lot of traits I would like as an NBA team, especially if you're picking after the lottery.
And he's got a lot of the just that mental edge to him that, like, you know, he's not going to be outworked. Like, he has got so much of, if I'm the Miami Heat, and like all we heard about in the bubble was like this Heat way. Yeah, that's that kid all the way through. But yeah, he's got all of the traits, and Fletch gets a lot of credit for that. And the three-point shooting, you know, you kind of laugh because like that has been the knock since the beginning of this kid as a prospect. It was like, well, can he shoot? And then, you know, as the draft process goes on after his sophomore year, that's the same question. Like, well, he shot, was it 29% from three as a sophomore, something along those lines, and now he's in the 40s. And that is a lot to me about the body of work and the way that he approaches those things, and the how to successfully be needled a little bit and hear that and just attack that part of his game. And it's something else.
Yeah. If you're a playoff team looking for a contributor right away, and somebody who can be a really good, in my opinion, role player, like imagine him on Utah or the Clippers or the Lakers or Philly or Brooklyn or Milwaukee or Golden State, like Toronto, any of those teams, I can see him fitting out. Right, because he's a winner, and he's just got an overall game. Anyway, that's a bad look for Minnesota, who's been great at home, but they are awful on the road, and they are now 6-10 in Big Ten play. They do have Northwestern and Nebraska coming up, but man, like with Robbins playing the way he is and hurt, Kalscher out, this team's in a little bit of trouble. They have a very good schedule remaining. They got Northwestern, Nebraska, Penn State on the road, and Rutgers at home. Those are winnable games, but that was a pretty embarrassing effort for them. And with their injuries, Minnesota could be in trouble. Like they're probably back to what, the 11 line, but they got great wins. That's the thing is they have great wins. So they probably have to lose out not to make it, or 3 or 4, they're on the bubble. But if they get 2 more, they're probably in, but because of those great wins, but they're in a little bit of trouble. And Indiana, man, I've made the comp of John Gross, those that kind of tenure where it just felt like they take one step forward and then they take two steps back. Indiana felt that way with their loss to Michigan State. They got a tough road. They got Rutgers, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue left, 3-4 on the road. I think they need to finish 500 in the Big Ten to get there. I mean, I don't know how weak the bubble is, but that's a team that's probably on the wrong side now, which is interesting. Now Maryland's probably getting on the right side. It's going to be fun to watch those teams compete for a spot.
Yeah, kind of a tough day for Big Ten teams on the bubble and the front end by other Big Ten teams. Like, maybe on the bubble. I don't think Michigan State's on the bubble. Maybe Michigan State works their way into the bubble. It's Tom Izzo, so you keep waiting for that rubber band to snap a little bit and to come back to earth a little bit. Indiana, though, oh boy, that is it's tough sledding, right?
Their message board is not very happy, which I understand.
I understand that, too. And you have a super, like a legit star in Trace Jackson Davis. And you remember the preseason, you know, that was a good reason to be excited about that team in the preseason. You got Trace coming back. I love Race Thompson, man. Like, Race Thompson is like on that all not – he's not going to be on a Big Ten, like all Big Ten team probably. But like, he's that guy he's my first round pick to have on my team today.
He's Damonte Williams 4 inches taller, right? Like, Damonte's obviously a better shooter now, but like that kind of glue guy but he's their second guy. Like, Armaan Franklin's so up and down, and I just haven't seen development from Durham and Finnessy. And, you know, Christian Lander's way too young. He looks like a 17-year-old playing against men, right? Like, because he is. That's where they struggle, is that guard play. Just, they have not developed that. They have not recruited it.
Look, when Brad Underwood is going all in for like however X number of guards in this one class or whatever it ends up being at some point in his tenure, remember 2020, 2021 Indiana. Yep. You cannot have enough guards who do guards things. You just can't.
It's why John struggled. He couldn't get that guy, right?
Like, Wisconsin too. I mean, Wisconsin's got issues other than that, but like, some of their guards just aren't with the rest of the Big Ten. And now, again, if they want to take the fourth guard in the class, at some point, you're going to do it. We don't care.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, look, we know Kofi and you know, big guys, Hunter Dickinson, that's probably, I mean, you're always going to have big guys because, you know, tall people exist, but guards are it, man. Yeah. Guards are it.
And well, the Big Ten has all the great big men, basically, besides Drew Timmy, right? And Mobley at USC. But like,
we're going on about these guards, and like, there might be one guard on the All Big Ten team,
but he could be the difference of it all, right? Like, yeah. He could be the absolute difference of it all. So, all right, Illinois coming up. Michigan State, they looked pretty good today. I still like that matchup, but I think it's going to be a tough game on the road. But you're just so much better offensively than them. You got to rebound. You got to be tough because Michigan State still has Hauser. Aaron Henry's playing great right now, but you have a huge advantage at center and, of course, at guard, right? Like, you have the two best players by far on the court. Then home against Nebraska, at Wisconsin, at Michigan, at Ohio State. Talk about a finish to the season. Those three games. So you got to take care of business these next two, which would be a 9-game win streak. But then at Wisconsin, at Michigan, at Ohio State, buckle up, let's go, Joey. Like, that is such a fun finish to what could be really a special year.
So obviously you're going to have the final two games are probably going to be top 10 games, you know, games against top 10 teams, you would think. And I don't know what Wisconsin might fall out, but you could have your final three games, top 25 games, two of them are in the top 10. And then, now you go into the Big Ten tournament. You're going to end up getting a double bye, I have to pretty strongly believe. And then it's just go again. And you got it. I mean, it's got to sharpen you for the next tournament, right? Like, you got to be ready to roll. I mean, this Big Ten, like, I understand, like, maybe some this little, like, fawning fatigue over the conference. It's like, okay, yeah, we get it. It's good. But numerically, it is – I think they may have just passed the 04 ACC as the best ever, and holy cow. And you know, the Big 12 might have the best team in America, and it's also a deep league, but
the West Coast Conference might too. But like, that's what's hard about Gonzaga, is they are great, and I think they can play with, obviously nobody has beat them, they had a tough non-conference, they don't get tested night in and night out like Illinois does or even Baylor does, like going through that Big 12,
dude. I mean, even that Northwestern game, and Northwestern's really going nowhere fast this season, but that is a game that's like, you didn't just get to like coast through it. And
Northwestern is higher in the KenPom than St. Mary's. And St. Mary's is the second best team beside what BYU in that conference, or third best team.
Yeah. And Northwestern, when Illinois played, they're like 72, and like they're this afterthought in the Big Ten race, and they should be because they're at the bottom of the standings, but they're 72 in KenPom. It's a tough league, man. And got to think it's going to pay dividends, because at this point, Illinois has seen everything. I mean, they've been in a lot of different situations. They've gotten out to big leads, they let them go away. They've gotten out to big deficits, they've climbed back. They've been in a lot of situations here that you would think would help them, but hell, we don't know. I mean, tournament's a weird place.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of my first team, all Big Ten, Joey. And Garza, DeSumo, Coburn, Jackson Davis. I even struggle with, like, Jackson Davis having such a good year, but his team just, I don't want to penalize him too much. But I think EJ Liddell, for me, is a first teamer. I have him over Trevion Williams and all the Michigan guys. Listen, you can make a case for Dickinson, Livers, and I love Franz Wagner. But I would have all those guys for second team, which is a great second team. And I don't know if I'd have Carr second team, to be honest with you. I think I'd rather go Wieskamp. Like, if I was building a team, I think I'd take Wieskamp over Carr. Like, that's the way I try to think of these things, is I might take Liddell over Jackson Davis.
I mean, there's such a, like, so Illinois's got two really good, like, two objectively good players on two really good teams. And then the, like, Ohio State and Michigan are very, very some of their parts. And that's not a knock, because their parts are really freaking good. But, like, then you kind of think, like, okay, there's so much balanced scoring. It's the same like Jared Butler. Like, you talk about, you expand this thing out to National Player of the Year. He very much should be a candidate, because he is one of the three, four, five best players in college basketball. But it's so spread out. Same with, you know, any literally anybody on Gonzaga, right? But it's so interesting how, like, this year feels maybe like more of a divide between, like, the really, really, like, just good, good players and the sum of their parts players who are hurt a little bit because their numbers are down. There's a couple guys, like you said, on Michigan. I think EJ's probably the only one on Ohio State fairly.
Yeah, like Dwayne Washington, I think I have my third team right now. Aaron Henry, Aaron Wiggins, I think I would have in that conversation. Carr, and then Ron Harper, as Rutgers really just hasn't been the same team all year. But yeah, I think Michigan deserves a lot of credit. Ohio State, all those guys, like CJ Walker's a nice player. I'm a huge fan of Zed Key as a freshman. Aaron's is a fantastic shooter. But yeah, those are more some of their parts. So I try not to knock them. Like, you can make a case for Franz Wagner, you know, as a two-way player. Isaiah Livers, you know, I kind of look at it like, who would I pick first if I were doing a draft? And I think Iowa and Garza are 1 and 2. Kofi's 3, and then I'd probably go between Jackson Davis and Liddell, and then I'd probably go with all the Michigan guys and Trevion Williams.
Yeah, and that's – Trevion Williams is another guy who's putting up really good numbers on a not-so-great team. Like, are they still ranked? They might still be ranked. I'm drawing a blank, but, like, they're not
gonna be. They're playing Nebraska right now, and they're winning, so they'll probably be ranked next week.
But, you know, not the best team Purdue has ever put on a basketball court, but Trevion Williams is – dude, he – just continues to put up numbers. Like, he is something else. He's fun to watch, but there's a lot of, like, the Big Ten, it's expanded out a little further, Jeremy. Like, how many Big Ten guys are going to be on these All-American teams?
Huh. Well, Garza, I mean, you saw it today, the Wooden Awards, 7 of 20, right? And they don't have Liddell on that list, which I think is crazy, because I'd take Liddell over some of those other Big Ten guys. Yeah, Garza's a first teamer. I think DeSumo's a first teamer. And Kofi really has a case. I don't think he'll get it, Joey, because Iowa's getting all the love. And, you know, you got to put Butler on there. You got to put somebody from Gonzaga on there. You know, I'm not putting, like, Cade Cunningham over Kofi, though, right? Like, I'm not going to put any of those guys. And Kofi right now is number 10 again in the KenPom. So I think that'll help him, too.
Dude, there's nobody, like, Kofi had a one-on-one today with, I think it was probably Liam or some other, you know, unfortunate person who had to try to stop him one-on-one, but, like, it's automatic. It just had, like, that one-on-one with Kofi within an arm's length of the basket or within, like, a reasonable step, it's over. It gets automatic. And I don't know, and again, maybe because we've watched so much of Kofi this season, but you just don't get him. You don't stop him one-on-one. It's just not happening. And that is a credit to where his game has grown, because a year ago, Jeremy, one-on-one with Kofi, he had such a limited arsenal of moves yes. that he could do to get you. And now all of that has been kind of eradicated. And, you know, he opened up with some bank hook shot that I was like, oh boy, this is not going to go well. And it did go well, but credit to him, right? And how he's evolved. And to your point, like if you were to step back and think of it like that, like his numbers are really good, but also he passes everything in the eye test with what you're looking for in a college big man.
And his development, I mean,
crazy.
The staff deserves a ton of credit for that. Antigua, Fletch, Underwood, Gentry, Chan, like all those guys. With both those players, I mean, I never thought had this level to him. And Kofi, the thing you thought was this guy's going to be big, burly, probably raw, right, and make a lot of mistakes. And he had some of that as a freshman, but he was a great Big Ten freshman of the year. And now, you know, he had a couple of fumbles early in the game. Like, oh, I jinxed him. All of a sudden, Kofi hands are back, but then it wasn't an issue the rest of the game. And defensively, he's gotten so much better.
Just this year. I mean, there were the Baylor game, and there was a couple other games where it just – I remember thinking, like, oh, my God, if this is what it's going to be, this is not the ceiling that this team thought it was going to have if he's got the Kofi hand situation. And it just went away. Like, I don't even remember it being, and maybe I'm remembering it incorrectly because it's been a long year, but like, I don't remember it being like progressive, right? It was like, okay, not good, not good, not good. Oh, everything's fine again. Like, it wasn't like this slow wean off of Kofi hands. And credit to him, because that he's developed as well in season.
Yeah.
As a lot, like, you know, most of the times guys come back and they've had the off season, they're just objectively and visibly better. Kofi has done a lot of that since November. And that is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Since Baylor, right? Like Baylor, he got in the foul trouble. The first three games, like he walked into double doubles in those games. It was just like, those weren't great games. We had those conversations then during Big Ten play. He's been, I mean, you could argue at times better than Io. Right? Like he's more important than Iowa at certain points of Big Ten play. He's just been consistently dominant, and it has been something to watch. Joey, now the national attention, the spotlight, we see it. Pat Forty writes a story. Shannon writes a great feature this week. Chicago Tribune, Iowa goes on the Score. And you're starting to feel like they're going to start coming. Like the national media is going to start coming, doing big stories on this team. Because they deserve it. And in a win like that, the stars you have, the personalities you have, and just the, you know, the cachet of Illinois basketball being back, it's going to start getting a lot of national attention now as we get closer and closer to March. But this team is so deserving of it.
I remember freshman year, like when Georgie's freshman year, like we kind of got to know him a little bit. And you're like, oh, this guy's something. Like, this is a fun guy. And I remember thinking, like, boy, wait till other people find out about him, because they are going to love him. And sure enough, wasn't it the Michigan State game? He's dancing with reporters pregame, and it's like, yeah, now everybody kind of knows a little bit. And he's just wanted Kofi didn't take long. And you're right, the personalities, it's a really quotable team. It's a really media savvy team. They understand, you know, they're not afraid to really let us in a little bit. National reporters are going to eat it up. Yeah. I mean, we know it as well as anything. To hear Io, just quickly to tangent on this, to hear Io on the Score yesterday, there was so much of a genuineness about that. And I know, you know, I didn't grow up near Chicago. I know the Score, I think, was a big deal for you maybe growing up, and it obviously was for Io. And it matters, like that premier radio station and that market matters to a lot of people. And to hear just how, Io's ever like, bad with us, or like he doesn't appreciate, like he understands we've got a job, we understand he understands the dynamic with us. But to hear him really like, holy crap, like that was the first time I remember him like at least showing that, holy crap, this is awesome. Yeah. Right, like that was, he doesn't let that out, he's a pro, he doesn't let that out very often, but that was pretty cool, man. Like that was, he's like, man, me and my dad used to listen to this driving around, just like how cool. Like, again, he doesn't show that side because a lot of this is so routine to him after the career he's had dating back to high school, and he got a lot of much deserved attention, but that's pretty cool, man. That was a cool time.
No. Yeah. It's been cool to watch. It's cool to see, you know, the Nashville people take these stories, because there are so many good stories, whether it's Io and his dad and his family, or Kofi, where his background comes from, Andre Curbelo, just how flashy he is, his background. There's a lot of good stories with this team, and you'll get to hear a lot more of them from the national media here coming up. All right, Joey, that's a pretty good feel-good game for Illini fans, I would think.
Yeah, I think they were looking for that, man. The last two, I think, like, people were cautiously excited, and this really put a lot of that right to bed.
All right, Joey, talk to you later, man.
All right, man.
That's a long post-game podcast, but we felt like that one deserved it, and just what's ahead. I mean, Illinois gained ground this weekend on one of either Michigan or Ohio State. So if Michigan loses, Illinois will be within striking distance of the Wolverines, and really it'll come down to that game between the two that is now rescheduled for March 2nd. But if Ohio State wins that, all of a sudden they're kind of in the driver's seat of this Big Ten, but all of a sudden it's really, really muddled at the front. But if Ohio State loses tomorrow, then I think Illinois's got the upper hand with that number one seed, but they have to go beat Ohio State probably by the end of the season to be able to get that, and of course not have many losses other than that as well. So just playing for a lot. And every win you get, you're playing for more and more. There's higher and higher stakes for Illinois basketball, which makes this thing a lot of fun. We're going to cover the heck out of it. Already are on IllinoisInquirer.com. Check out all the post-game from Trent Frazier, Io DeSumo, Brad Underwood. Got our quick hits. Going to work on our player grades. Derek is in Minneapolis. He'll have kind of the large picture view of that win. Joey's working on a story on just the supporting cast and what kind of contribution they made. And I'll have a piece on Trent Frazier coming up as well. And if you haven't already, right now, 50% off a VIP annual membership. If you're a monthly member, you can upgrade for that deal. But also with this deal, you get free complimentary service with CBS All Access, which turns to Paramount Plus. Great content on there. If you're a Star Trek fan, I know that's one. The Yellowstone new show is coming on that as well. But check that out at Illini Inquirer and sign up for a VIP membership. A lot of value in that. All right, if you don't already, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, review us, wherever you get your podcast as well. Everybody have a great weekend. I know you will after that Illini win. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.